I did. And that pulpit was always doing this. Wasn't sure why, but I was nervous back then. And anyway, it's just a pleasure to be back in what I've always considered my home church, Anacortes Christian Reformed Church. So good to be here. And I speak on behalf of Ingrid as well. We served here 7 years, from 85 to 92, so it's 38 years of ministry, just retired, and it's been over 38 years since we've been here. So anyway, I want to today have us look at a parable of Christ, which emphasizes that our salvation, being in his kingdom, being children of God, even the rewards that we may receive one day in glory, that's all a gift. It's all of grace because it's all from God. If not by our works, not by our goodness, but it's all a gift. The question I want us to ask this morning as we read the passage, as the word is proclaimed, are we amazed still at God's love for us? Are amazed at being saved, amazed at being forgiven? We're going to sing a concluding song as Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Are we overwhelmed day by day? Is it seen in our lives, the greatness of God's grace? That's the question. Are we amazed at God's love and grace to us and for us? Matthew 19, we're going to pick up at verse 27 and read into the parable, which is found in chapter 20. So begin at 27, verse 27, chapter 19. Peter answered Christ, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' And so they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?'" And verse 16 really is the key text we're focusing on this morning. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. You have not left us without revelation. We have not had to go and search somewhere in the mountains to find truth, or some great university or seminary. We have your word. We have your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word and the proclamation of that word this morning. And I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, enable us all to hear your word, both read and proclaimed, to receive that word, to be shaped by it. And Lord, grant to me the words to speak, that your name will be exalted and your church built up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you are young enough to you might remember the day you started your first job. You know, a job where you got paid, not the job where you work at home. I grew up on a farm, Marysville, Mount Vernon. We worked and worked and worked and didn't get paid. We ate. That was good. But you remember that first job? How excited you were? Or maybe you remember the time, a long time after being unemployed, you had looked a long time for a job. You sent out resumes, you did interviews, you received rejections, you were getting low on money, and then the phone call came and you were hired. And you were so happy to be employed. What a gift. So much so that you felt thankful to your employer. You felt indebted. You wanted to do your very best to show how much you appreciated the fact that you were now employed. Then a year after you were working, maybe longer, maybe because you joined a union, you begin to think, wow, the boss should be thankful that he has me. He's indebted to me. You had a sense of entitlement. He should pay me more. I deserve better. And you started complaining. Now I give that illustration because it illustrates what often happens in our relationship with God. If we begin to focus on us and what we do, rather than focusing on God and what God has done, if we forget who gave us the job in the first place, who put us in the kingdom, if we forget that it's all of God and all of grace, undeserved favor. R.A. Torrey, long gone to heaven, pastor, preacher, teacher, someone, a Christian man, wrote him a letter. I am in great perplexity. I have been praying for a long time for something I am confident is according to God's will, but I do not get it. I have been a member of the Presbyterian Church for 30 years and have tried to be a consistent one all that time. I have been superintendent in the Sunday school for 25 years and an elder in the church for 20 years, and yet God does not answer my prayer, and I cannot understand it. Can you please explain it to me? He had, what was he saying? This man had the idea, well, I have done so much for God, and therefore God should do something for me. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe you don't say it, but God, you owe me. I deserve better. You have a sense of entitlement rather than of appreciation or submission to his will. And it comes with the focus. When we focus on what we do and not on what God has done, when we forget that it's all a gift from God. This is the very thing that Jesus is addressing with his disciples, with the crowds, with the Pharisees back then in this parable. He says to those hired first who complain about their pay, verses 14 to 15, I want to give the man hired last the same as I gave to those hired first. What's his point? It's a gift. It's a gift no matter how long you've been working in the vineyard, to have a job, to be in the kingdom, to be in the vineyard. Because Jesus is emphasizing here that it's all about the generosity of God, who doesn't have to save anyone, doesn't have, as it were, to give us anyone a job or be in the kingdom. He could justly, righteously leave us in our misery and our sin unemployed. The theme text, and it makes the point, and it wraps this parable. Verse 16, so the last will be first and the first will be last. Well, you'll notice we read that verse before, or those same words before, verse 30 of chapter 19, where we read, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And I have 2 points really this morning. The first one is, the first should be first. That's the way the world works. The way of works. Second point will be, the last will be first. It's the way of grace. It's the way of Christ's kingdom. So first, we're looking at man's way or the world's way. The first should be first. The way of works, the way of self-righteousness. There's no free lunch, is there? You work for what you get, and you get what you work for. You don't get something for nothing, do you? If it's going to happen, oftentimes, don't you say, if it's going to happen, it depends on me. I'm sure you've all spent time watching your favorite sports teams, or I want to think about, especially this morning, the Olympics. Who gets the higher stand? Remember when they get the silver, the bronze, and the gold? Who gets the highest stand? The gold. The winner. We celebrate winners. Human achievement. We don't celebrate losers. May the best man win. It makes sense. We often, in our relationships, whether it's at work or even in our own human relationships at home, our friend relationships, we often relate to each other through works. I like you better if you accomplish what you say you're going to accomplish. We like winners. And the thing is, most of us think this is the way it works. And we may profess differently. No, it's all of grace, but we often operate in a different way. We think it works in God's kingdom, that it's by works and not by grace. Only the very good, nice people make it to heaven. They are the most deserving, right? In the passage just before the one we read, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, chapter 19, verse 16, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And what does Jesus say? Basically, he says, keep the commandments of God. Do you ever think about that? Simply keep the commandments of God. That means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing with that? Jesus says, keep the commandments. What is he saying? Be the best. Be perfect. Be a winner. Why did Jesus say that? So he could see that he can't do it. That he needs a Savior. But what does the rich young ruler say? Well, I've been doing that. I've been keeping the commands of God since I was a kid. Really? There's a similar story to our parable, the one we just read, in Jewish literature that was current in Christ's days when he was on the earth. It was about a king who hires workers for his vineyard, and one works so hard and skillfully that it catches the attention of the king. And so the king takes the worker aside and spends most of the day with him talking. At the end of the day, this man receives the same wage as others, who then complain, that's not fair. We worked all day, this man only 2 hours, yet he receives the same wage.